powered by Next Gen Worship.
We are setting a new normal.
Practice life together.
Empowering women to thrive.
This is On Fire.
Welcome to the On Fire podcast, where we're empowering women to thrive. My name is Haley.
And I'm Alicia.
Last time, I spiraled, okay, because you just briefly mentioned Twinkies.
Yes.
And I gotta say...
As junk food.
As junk food. Yes. I have an unholy love of sugar and junk and Twinkies. Something happened inside of me when you said the words. Like, my mind was overtaken by spongy cake filled with cream.
Yes.
And the delightfulness that they are. Except that they're completely tasteless. And they cause you to want to eat more because you keep thinking, this is going to be good in a minute.
I remember when I was a little girl, I loved Twinkies. See, that's not one of the things that I can eat now. I would never, yeah. It doesn't send off the little cocaine receptors in my brain. So
it's Christian cocaine.
Christian cocaine. I am still childlike in, I love candy.
Oh,
I could eat sugar candy, like licorice and sweet tarts. Yeah. And then you have the dynamic duo, the licorice covered sweet tart, which is the Kazoozel.
Oh, the Kazoozel.
Angels are singing. Yes.
You know, what I find so fascinating about it is that it's like those things are made of preservatives, sugar, and air. And yet they're so compelling. It has to be the sugar, which I think it's funny. We should call it. It's just Christian cocaine.
Christian cocaine.
Yeah. What I liked was oatmeal cream pies.
Yes.
And one time when I was pregnant with my second child, I ate an entire box of oatmeal cream pies in a day.
That oh my
was,
goodness.
And I drank a 2 liter. Now, all of 2 liter of like root beer. So all of the holy millennial nutritionist moms out there, just know that back then, nobody ever talked to you about like that what you're putting in your body is feeding your baby. So I didn't know.
Yeah, that little detail.
That was left out of my prenatal class. So I didn't know, like that I couldn't, like some people would be like, oh my gosh, that's evil. But I really did. And I was probably sick afterwards, but I just craved the oatmeal cream pies. I mean, I gained like, you know, 50 pounds too. But hey, you reap what you sow. Is that how you say it?
Yes.
Little Debbie's were my downfall.
Scott loves Little Debbie's. And I mean, I can't keep them in the house because he'll just go through them one after another. Mm. And so I don't buy them. So he doesn't eat them.
So apparently men like Christian cocaine too.
Mm-hmm. I know. I don't like any of those junk
food. You know what? Junk food.
I'll eat cookies and cakes and pie.
So you like good junk food.
Good junk food.
Now, see, I went through this phase in my life where I was like, okay, fine. I'm not going to buy processed junk food, but I'm going to make homemade things and then I won't feel guilty about eating as much as I want.
Should not feel guilty about eating
but
your homemade
things. But you
know what?
If you eat a whole batch of homemade preservative-free chocolate chip cookies, you still get the end result.
That's not really fair.
I think that we're redeemed from this. This has to be a part of the curse.
Yes.
So we are redeemed from this and need to figure out how to walk it out on the planet.
Yeah, figure that out. Let me know because I am really interested in knowing that.
As women of a certain age, we're trying to figure out how and why this has occurred where we can no longer consume as much sugar as we used to be able to.
I would ride my bike to the store and buy a small 6-inch tall bag full of candy. I would sit on my front porch and I would just eat it. And that was like heaven to me. Now I can't do that because something happens the next day. I go into a brain fog.
Yeah.
And my brain doesn't work because of all the sugar.
Mm.
And it's just not right.
It's not right. It is a part of the curse. And I'm convinced they have done something to sugar.
Yes.
To make it more evil than it was when I was younger.
God made sugar and sugar is good. We love sugar and we love God. And
that's
so.
Right.
So next week, we are going to be continuing our discussion on identity.
Yes.
And we are going to dive into more of who we are, who God says we are. But today, we're going to start this discussion. And really, we just can't talk about who we are without knowing who God is.
That's
so we're
going
to begin that. No, about who is God?
Get out there and walk. Better yet, better run. Time to blaze a trail that even hell could never travel on. No sitting on your hands. Understand, it's gonna take some discipline. To pour yourself into the acts of love for your fellow man. No fits, no starts, but steady from the heart. Quick to notice differences and even quicker to mend fences. We're called to perfection, walking in the same direction. For your own protection, avoid insurrection. One master, one faith, one baptism, one God, Father of all, over all, through all, in all. Together, we realize this life filled with abundance. Everything you are and think and do is charged with oneness. But that doesn't mean you think and speak and act identically. Christ has made us each unique out of his generosity. We're all moving rhythmically, many members of one body, woven creatively into a God-breathed tapestry.
Empowering women to thrive.
This is the On Fire Podcast.
All right, welcome back to the On Fire Podcast, where we're empowering women to thrive. Next time, we are going to do part two of our conversation about identity, talking about who we are. Right now, we're talking about part one, which is who is God? And this is a big conversation.
It is. We could actually talk about this for a long time to come.
I kind of think that this is a subject that you could talk about for your whole life.
Yeah.
It would never get old.
Mm-mm.
Because for one, we're not going to be able to even start talking about part two without the part one.
It right.
Just, you have to go in order.
And number two, what we learn of God today, we didn't know yesterday.
Yes.
So we will continue forever becoming more intimately acquainted with who he is.
Well, the fact that he's eternal gives us a little clue there that this is subject matter that can go on and on and on forever. And I know in my own journey, this has been a very big deal. I feel like it's basic, but yet so many people don't understand it. If you have an improper view of who God is, how he thinks, his character, what you believe about that determines what you believe about yourself. And what you believe about yourself determines how you feel, and how you feel most of the time determines the decisions that you make.
Right.
In life. So this can either set you up for great success or derail your future.
Exactly. It's like a rudder directing your ship.
Yes.
It sets the course of your life. How do we determine who God is? I mean, think about it. Who told you about God? The first person who ever told us about God told us something and we either choose to believe it or we don't.
A lot of times it's religion.
Sometimes it's a church or religion.
It's what you grew up in church believing about God. A lot of times it's just what society has made up about who God is to try to make sense of the world around them.
Mm-hmm.
I think that I grew up thinking, you know, that God is kind of out there, cosmic, distant. I never really thought God was mean or had it out for me. I think I more believed he just didn't care. In the masses of the people in this world, I could not possibly be significant enough for him to pay attention to. That shaped my view of God and what I thought that he thought about me. Because if I'm insignificant to him, then I approached every part of my life as somebody who's insignificant and orphaned.
Right.
Like, I didn't have him.
I think you're not alone in that. I think that is a very common perspective of who God is. I think that another way we, quote, have discovered God is through our own reasoning.
Yeah.
We have made up a manageable deity of who we think God should be. I think a lot of people function, you know, with a God who should do this. And then when things of life don't go the way they think they should, well, I'm not going to worship or serve a God who would do that, then they're mad at God for not living up to their idea of what they thought he should be, just out of their own self.
Like, now I'm mad because you don't fit in the box I built for you.
Right. Yeah.
You know, here's something that I have struggled with. You know, it's been a journey over the last 5 to 7 years, that God is good.
Mm-hmm.
That God is good. And, you know, immediately I can hear even in my head my own questions that I've had. Well, if he's good, then why do bad things happen? If he's good, then why did I grow up without a father? Or if he's good, then why is there war? And it goes on and on and on and on. The reality is that the creator of the universe is good. Mm-hmm. And the creator of the universe wanted to be in relationship with humanity. That prompted him to create a garden where he put us. And it's not really his fault that humanity removed itself from that. And then he sent his son to reinstate us back to that place of the garden because he wanted relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And so I have had to, in my own life, just determine this is what I believe.
Mm-hmm.
And even when my feelings do not line up with it. And let me tell you, feelings come and feelings go. And sometimes they're warm and fuzzy and sometimes they are not, depending on the circumstances. So I have sort of just had to have a preset in my mind and my heart that no, God is good.
Mm-hmm.
God is good. And this is what I believe. And then I will base what I do out of that belief.
This is a way of looking at it. You said it. God is creator.
Mm-hmm.
This is who he is. And he created everything that our known existence.
Yeah.
He is creator. And who he is, he's the standard. He determined what is good.
Mm-hmm.
Who are we to even talk about this good or bad? Well, the only reason we know good and evil is because of the tree that, you know, that mankind ate of. And so because of that, we think that we know good and evil. Well, God is good. And so with him being the standard, he defines good.
Yeah.
So whatever he is, it's not like he only does good. He is good. Who he is defines good. And so in that, we would be just peachy keen if we only knew him. That's how it was in the garden before the fall. You know, Adam and Eve only knew him. They only knew
they
good.
They only knew goodness.
Mm-hmm. And so it's just of eating that fruit of thinking that we knew something better than God. That's really what they did. They thought they could decide something better. Basically, I think in coming to understand him, we're to know him. And I think we can know him personally.
Yeah.
Jesus made way for that. There's no curtain. There's no man that you have to go through.
No.
He made access to God the Father, and we can know him and be personally known by him. When we come into understanding of him, he will release to us understanding of all aspects of him, which are all aspects of his goodness.
Yeah.
And so we get wave after wave of understanding mm-hmm. of who he is, and that is of all that goodness that he is and his right way.
Mm-hmm.
It's so arrogant to think outside of that. There's no other way to see it as far as I'm concerned. Mm-hmm. I mean, of course, God gave us the choice.
Yeah.
But it's such a no-brainer to me. It's his world.
Mm-hmm.
He created it. He owns it. He defined how everything works. He wrote it into existence through his words. And so it's like, who are we to argue with that?
Yeah. I think, though, that religion and, you know, and we have this attempt has been made to understand the things about life that are painful and complex and hard to bear. And so we want to believe God is good. So then we blame him for these bad things and do that religious thing. I really, really dislike it where, you know, well, God knows what you can bear. He's not going to put on you more than you can bear. Or, you know, God must have needed another angel in heaven. And that's why your mm-hmm. loved one was taken from you. And they put like this spin on it to try to make something not good, good, mm-hmm. so that they can cope with it emotionally. I struggle with knowing what to say to those people because how harsh is it to be like, well, that is not from God and it is not good. That was from the enemy. The reality is that God wanted so much to be in relationship with humanity that he gave us a choice
mm-hmm.
of whether or not we would be in relationship with him. Because if there's no choice, you know, we know it's not genuine. Love is not love if it's forced.
Right.
If it's a robot, that's called, mm-hmm. you know, I don't even know what that's called.
Yeah.
it's
dictatorship.
Hard. Yeah, it's dictatorship. Yeah, mm-hmm. that's not love. That's not relationship. I think it's kind of what we're talking about is how do you come to that understanding in your heart that he is still good.
Mm-hmm.
He is still faithful. He is still loving. These things that have happened in our own lives that are not good don't change the character of who God is.
Mm-mm. And we don't have to change our idea of him to accommodate those situations. It doesn't have to explain God. It's the lack of God in an area that explains those situations.
Oh.
So we've looked at God as creator. We've looked at God, who he is, his character is God is mm-hmm. good.
Yeah.
Let's talk about God as father.
Yes. That's been a tricky one for me. I don't have earthly fatherly relationship that I grew up with to determine, you know, so many people, that's mm-hmm. what they base it off of. And I always envied those ladies that grew up with like the best dad ever mm-hmm. and they have a connection. And even then, you still have to come to an understanding of who sure. God is as father. Nobody's mm-hmm. perfect.
Right.
So, but it has been hard for me to allow him to be father.
Mm-hmm.
But yet it has been the most rewarding.
Yeah. I think that's the season that I've just coming out of that orphan mentality mm-hmm. where it's like, and learning that I can trust him to yes. care for me.
Yeah.
He's tender. He loves and he wants the best. And I have a position in him because mm-hmm. I come from him. It speaks of my identity, which
your
we're going to talk about next
is
time.
Part of his yeah. DNA.
Yeah. And so it's like, I know my place now. He is a good father who looks out for his children.
Yeah.
Takes care of them, provides for them, nourishes them, and gives them a safe place. He's a strong tower, mm-hmm. you know, a protector. And I think that's my, you know, like I said, I really, really, really love him as mm-hmm. father,
that's
as
like
daddy.
Your happy place.
Yeah, yeah, it is right now.
That's been really good for me, even in our conversations that we've had together about it, just to be able to say out loud to myself and believe in my heart that he is good and he's good to me.
Mm-hmm.
That I can trust him the way my own children trust their father. Like they trust him to provide.
Right. They don't even think about it.
They don't worry about where their next meal is coming Mm-mm. from. They don't worry about where their clothes are coming from. They don't even worry about where all the fun things right. are coming from because they trust
mm-hmm.
that their father is providing and making provision for them in the, right. to have a great life.
Mm-hmm.
And so that is something that I really wrestled with in my heart and just determined. I think that's, I've just had to determine, I will believe this.
Mm-hmm.
It has been amazing, just the breakthrough in my own life.
Well, that's faith.
Yeah.
You just decided, I'm going to have faith in who I've heard people say God is yeah. and who what the word says about him. And I'm going to lean and put my trust into that. And here you are walking in a relationship with your Heavenly Father where he is providing for you.
He is. Yes.
He is bringing you the good things. I mean, you can test him in it.
Mm-hmm.
He's absolutely able to be yeah. all that. Well, I love talking about him. He is my favorite subject.
He is, yes. yes.
And so I'm so excited about next week. We're going to dive into, after seeing who he is, talk about who he says we are.
That is important. Yeah. It's going to be awesome. Well, that's it, folks. Leave a comment. We love feedback and we would love to hear what you think about our show. And if you have any other topics that you want us to discuss,
let us know.
Yeah, yeah. See you next time. I'll put the good stuff in.
Been listening to the On Fire podcast.